This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon. News you need.
Like it or not.
Now I want you to think and stop being a smart aleck. Can you try that for me?
Look, where's this going? What do you want me to do?
There's sometimes a buggy. How many drivers does a buggy have?
One.
So let's just say I'm driving this buggy, and if you fix your attitude, you can ride along with me.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
She's my daughter.
I said I want the truth.
She's my sister. She's my daughter. My sister, my daughter.
I said I want the truth.
She's my sister and my daughter.
You gotta tell them Silent Breed is people.
Do you ever fantasize about being killed?
Devil, stick, 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 the mark of the beast. No. Naughty. Naughty jungle of love.
You fellas want to read me my rights?
You have the right to remain silent. Okay. You have the right to have your face kicked in by me. Nice. You have the right to have your balls stomped by him.
I'll waive my rights.
Shape up, man. You're a slacker. Do you want to be a slacker for the rest of your life?
Are we actually recording right now?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
All right, well then, shout outs to everybody listening to Infonomicon.
This is the CBS Evening News. Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation. Military threat. Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims. And now they die. Chemical weapons. Carpet bombing. Deaths. Tough FBI. Killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline. Sex and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine. Tons of cocaine. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS TV News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Radio, episode 14.
Release date, October the 11th, 2004.
And this is a very special episode because it's our first one on Rant Radio. And if you're listening to this show live on Rant Radio, the first time it's being broadcast on the 11th, go listen or go to the Rant Radio IRC chat. You can find a list of the servers at rantradio.com/chat.php. And me and Obfuscated are going to be hanging out so y'all can talk to us and tell us how great the show is. All dissenters will be prosecuted, so...
Who said I was going to be there?
You did, actually.
I did?
Yeah.
I might have diarrhea that day, actually.
Well, if you're not there, I'll just sign on with a different Nick and pretend I'm you.
That should be fun.
It should be fun. I'll have to watch a lot of mafia movies so I can get you down pat. Anyway, welcome all you Rant Radio guys. We've been doing the show for a little while, obviously, because this is show 14. And the way the show is done is me and Obfuscated read some news that we find. I get 90% of my news from the Wall Street Journal because I feel that's a newspaper that's really important, whether it may be true or not. A lot of people that make a lot of very important business decisions, at least in the United States, read the Wall Street Journal. And we're both based out of the U.S. Oh. Now, first of all, we're going to read some email. Obfuscated, you get an email.
Also, our news is tech news. We don't go into any political or anything else bullshit like that. We pretty much stick with tech or porn.
Which is kind of tech.
Which is technological. You know, you're watching on your computer.
And porn actually drives a lot of the technological industry.
It sure drives mine.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay, did we get an email this week?
I got a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I got one from a guy. I don't know if we should say his name on the radio, but he said he listened to our last episode and the extremely interesting comments made by a listener, and he'd have to agree. I've come up with a couple of suggestions that I think will help you with your show dramatically. First of all, he wants us to explain every single joke after we sail. We should also have a second or two of dramatic pause followed by a moment of personal reflection for the listeners to take in said joke and process it. This is the only acceptable method of delivery, so do not bother coming up with your own way of doing it. Secondly, if you're going to cover new news items, you should be sure not to add anything extra like commentary, opinions of the story. All this does is detract from the story itself and give me way too much to think about. I do not need you to analyze the stories and give me your opinions or come up with some new viewpoint that makes the story fresh and new and different than the original. This guy says he chooses to let the government do the thinking for him, and he doesn't need anyone getting in his way. Finally, another suggestion is you don't do a show that contains jokes or news. Anyway, actually, I am going to say the guy's name. His name is Stinky Puppy. At least that's our pet name for him. And he asked to be the cunt of the month. Because if you didn't get it, just for y'all that we do need to explain the jokes for, Stinky Puppy wrote that as a joke, and he found it amusing.
Okay. Dramatic pause. Shh. Reflection. Reflect. 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 Okay, I'm done.
All right. Anyway, hope y'all enjoyed that little...
Didn't I feel better? Just go,
Well, I think I understand what I said now, so that'll be a lot better with the pause. Also...
He's not going to be cunt of the month. You have to try really harder than that.
Yeah, that's not enough to get you cunt of the month, Stinky Puppy. And if you don't know who Stinky Puppy is, then, well, figure it out yourself. Or ask us. We'll tell you. Anyway...
$5.
$5. Mr. Obfuscated has a contest that he's come up with. Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay. If you're a regular listener to this show...
Which you're all going to be, so...
That is, open the show with usually before the intro music, clips of movies, you know, theme songs of movies, just clips, because I have tons of them and have to use them some form, way or the other. So we're going to have a contest. The contest is that after the show's done, I'm going to make like a 3-minute clip of, you know, just like different clips from movies, theme songs, and stuff like that. Now, if you answer, if it's going to be right next, you're going to find that after you listen to the show, it's going to be up. It's going to be in the episodes page, and it's going to be on top, so you won't be able to miss it, the contest. So this is the way it's going to work. If you can answer each one of those, okay, if you could find out what each clip is, then you'll win. What do they win, Bob?
Well, sir, we have a variety of prizes, but I think the first prize that we're going to give away is a brand-new, shiny Infonomicon t-shirt.
That's correct. Made by Pixelfiend. And we received some t-shirts. They're like really high quality.
Yeah, I'm wearing mine right now. In fact, that's all I'm wearing.
And on the also, I'll put a link up in the contest information. I'll put a link what the shirt looks like.
Hell yeah.
And also, it doesn't show the back part, but the back is going to have a picture of my penis with Google written on it. I had to take Droops came over to my place and did a mold of my penis.
About
8.5 hours, but we got it done.
You have to do a lot of back and forth with the mold.
But that's the kind of... Also, I haven't told Droops this yet, but the at the end of all the clips, there's going to be a song at the end, okay? Now, if you get all the clips right, you get the t-shirt, but... If you get the song right, which you're not, there's no way you're going to get the song right. Because if you do, I'll feel more pity for you than I would anything else. But if you get the song right also, plus all the clips, you'll not only win a t-shirt, you'll also win a DVD of your choice. Now, none of those fucking box set shit, okay? Anything under, let's say, $25.
All right.
24 something.
Now, of course, this is only for the first person that gets all the shit right, not everybody that gets it right.
Right, right. If you're the first person to answer just all the clips, then you win it. Anybody, everybody else after that, no. And if you get, you know, you have to be, the only one person can win the whole package. If you know the song but not the clips, you don't win shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So make a friend real quick in the IRC chat and get it done. I live in North Mississippi. I'm allowed to say that.
So that's the contest. Now, just so I don't have to repeat this again, it's not going to be the one this show opens up with. It's going to be a separate clip, and you're going to see that under the episodes.
Yeah, page. On our website at infonomicon.org. And we'd also like to say that our intro music with Dan Rather, if you don't know who Dan Rather is, he was actually in the news himself the other day, but he's a big TV guy for CBS in the United States.
Yeah, he's been with CBS how long, about 350 years?
Yes, 350 years. He's like Dick Clark. He keeps getting injections. And anyway, that's done by some guys called the Evolution Control Committee, and they have a website. And use Google and find it. They're
good. It's on our episodes page.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Okay.
All right, are we done with all this crap and ready to do the show?
I also like to say that a few people sent us emails with some articles in them. One was Kev420Nick, thinks that that's his Nick handle. And also Joe sent us some articles. So if you have any tech articles you like to send, you know, crazy shit, you know, coast-to-coast type of shit, send it in and we'll read them on the air and we'll jerk off over it.
And what's your email address?
Obfuscated, obfuscated@infonomicon.org.
And I'm droops@infonomicon.org.
And how would you spell that?
D-R-O-O-P-S.
That's complicated. You should shorten that.
It's hard.
Like me.
Well, I am wearing nothing but the shirt. And just for anyone that cares to know, we don't live anywhere near each other. We do this over Skype, over the internet. And we've actually been on a date once, and Obfuscated didn't give me head, though I took him out to eat and coffee.
But I did give him cigarettes as a consolation prize.
Hell yeah, I got some cigarettes. Anyway, let's get on with this shit and let's do the show.
Okay, this was sent in. The first article was sent in by Kev420Nick. Man, hold on a second. Man mistakenly cuts off penis. Dog eats it.
What?
Okay, an old Romanian man mistook his penis for a chicken's neck, cut it off, and his dog rushed up and ate it. The state news agency said Monday. It said 67-year-old Constantine, whatever his last name is, from a village near southeastern town of, another name I can't pronounce, rushed out into his yard in his underwear to kill a noisy chicken keeping him awake all night. I confused it with a chicken's neck. That was a quote from him. He was admitted to the emergency hospital and was quoted as saying, "I cut it and the dog rushed out and ate it." Dog said the man who was brought in by ambulance bleeding heavily was out of danger. Of himself, obviously.
Obviously.
How does that happen? Well, anyway, how do you cut your own fucking dick off?
How do you confuse it with a chicken neck?
It must be pretty fucking big.
Was it just poking out and he was close to the block? I don't know what he was doing.
Okay, this is the way I figure, right? He's sleeping, the chicken's like all night. Whatever the fuck sound chicken makes, right? So he wakes up, he's like, fucking chicken, whatever fucking country he's from. And so he runs out there with a butcher knife, right? Grabs the chicken by the fucking neck, okay? Brings it in. Now, he's naked. He's been sleeping. He's running out naked in the woods, okay? Grabs the chicken. And he brings it inside. And he's so tired, he grabs his dick. And his dick is like, of course, like, you know, like 8-9 feet long. He grabs a butcher knife and cuts off like 4 inches.
That's miserable.
And the dog just goes, brr.
Okay. I think if I was in charge of the news there, I wouldn't let this out. Like, no. I might tell other people in the area, but I definitely wouldn't tell us.
No, no, because this, you know, that's not saying too much of your local folk.
But whatever. Accidents do happen, I suppose. And
okay, if you're listening to the show,
no,
and everything you like it and everything, the first person who sends us a penis in the mail, cut off with a cleaver and a chicken's neck, a real one, will win a prize.
Does it have to be a human penis, or can it be anything?
Oh, it's it has to be a human penis. It has to be yours. And we want video of you cutting it off.
Oh, yeah. For Infonomicon TV.
And we can say a terrorist did it.
Eh?
So when you videotape it, you have to speak Arabic. Whatever the fuck they say over there.
Whatever they say. Unless you speak Arabic, and then we're not making fun of you at all.
Actually, I work with a guy from Iraq. And I know how to say suck my dick. It's Mississippi. Mississippi. It's like Mississippi.
Excellent, my friend.
I know dirty jokes in 69 languages.
You're so witty with that. Oh, we forgot the dramatic pause.
Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, got it.
Well, my next article is about Google. It's about Amazon. It's about eBay. It's about all of them. And they're the biggest company the web has on, you know, average, just companies that do most of their business on the web. And they're, of course, as a company would, they seek new avenues for growth. But doing this, they're invading on each other's turf with gusto. That's a good word for you, isn't it? The latest example, like search engine kingpin Google, introduced a program called Google Print to a broad audience of book publishers that would let the users search the content of the books on the Internet. Google Print is an expansion of an initiative the company has been testing for several months on a more modest scale with some publishers. Now, this, of course, pits Google right against Amazon.com, who has a search that searches inside the book, and their search is called A9. It's also a web search, just like Google is, that you can customize for yourself. Google, Amazon, eBay, and Yahoo are on a collision course. Bill Gross, the chairman of a venture capitalist firm, Idea Lab, which introduced a new search engine company this week at a conference here, they're all stepping into each other's territory, and it's going to lead to interesting battles. And this is really good for everybody, because everything's going to get better and cheaper. The race to make books as searchable as other forms of content is creating one of the most closely watched rivalries in the Internet business. Google yesterday said it had asked publishers to send their books to be digitally scanned by Google so consumers can search for keywords in the text through Google's search site. Now, Google hasn't got a bunch of whole shitload of companies going for it. They've got Pearson PLC, John Wiley & Sons, Walt Disney, actually. Scholastic and Oxford University Press have all said they've signed up with Google. So what do you think about searching books on the web?
Yay.
Yay.
It's...
I tell you, I'd be pissed if I was looking up something and all the results were books. Because then you have to go to the library and, like, read. When you can just sit at your house in your Infonomicon shirt that you can win from listening to our show and read it there. But,
what is this, a pay service? Like, you pay, like, so much a month to get unlimited access to so many books?
No, it's free. You don't get to read the book. You get to search the book.
Oh, just like you do with Amazon, of course. Like,
yeah.
You said.
That's what I
actually,
said.
Actually, I bought a few books from Amazon like that, reading the first chapter. You know, not so much fiction books because, you know, you don't want to just read the first chapter and buy the book like that. But a lot of technical books, you know, you can usually tell by the first chapter or two if it's going to be good or not.
Yeah, the style of the author's writing.
Right. So I bought a few books like that.
All right.
I haven't bought them from Amazon. I go to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million and pick it up. But that's how I usually get my technical books.
There's a website called Alibris.com. I think that's how you pronounce it. And they have a lot of hard-to-find books that places don't have. And actually, I bought a book about Huey Long that he wrote, and it was the first publication, and it appeared someone had stole it out of the New York Public Library and then sold it to these people. And I paid pretty good money for it. But it was a good copy of the book.
Pretty
but
big
I don't
fan
believe that you can search there.
Pretty big
right?
Fan of Huey P. Long, huh?
Yeah, I like Huey Long.
That cool?
He actually wrote a book about how he was going to be the president of the United States. And it wasn't like, here's what I'm going to do to be president. He's like, here's what I'm going to do when I become president.
Number one with a bullet, or bullets.
But he was like, first of all, I'm not going to get shot. But, of course, that failed. And then second of all, he wrote the book to where the poor people, which was the people that he was trying to get to vote for him, could read it. So it's a really, really long novel written on like a first grade reading level. So it's, man, it's easy to read. It's awesome. I can understand most of the words.
Like is and that.
I'm still working on that. It's got so many other meanings.
Those other politicians are poo-poo heads.
And it's a good sign of the times because it was written like in the 40s. Anyway, go ahead, bud.
Okay, remember a few weeks ago when I mentioned that the fire risk laptops?
I remember that.
Okay, now Dell warns on fire risk laptops. Computer giant Dell is to recall 4.4 million laptop power adapters because of a fear they could overheat, creating a risk of fire or electric shock.
IBM is also recalling some power supplies for their ThinkPad laptops.
Remember when we talked about, like, I think it was like maybe a month ago where, you know, not, you know, Dell doesn't make all its parts, of course, and, you know, like, Microsoft doesn't make all its parts.
Oh, yes.
They all get different. I wonder if this comes from the fucking same place.
That would be interesting to look up.
All these laptop adapters come from, like, the exact same company, like Taiwan. All the Taiwanese, they figure they come out and plot against, you know, America.
Well, I'm reading mine on my ThinkPad right now, and it said it was manufactured for IBM Corporation. It was made in China.
And like, like when I was talking about Apple, the same contest applies. We have a lot of contests. If you can,
hell yeah.
If you have a friend with one of these laptops, you don't tell him about it. So when he catches on fire, you videotape it. And if you send us the video of him, it has to be a good video. It can't just be like, you know, some rat on fire you taped. Just something. It has to be a friend. Run around on fire, him trying to punch his head to quit the pain, right? We will come to your house and do a live show.
Hell yeah. You and Obfuscated will give you oral sex no matter what you look like.
I like old men.
Unless you're me, because he won't seem to give me any.
We'll come to your house, and so... And I will give the oral sex to the friend who got burnt.
Unless their weenie got burned.
Oh, still like that. I'm all about the burnt sausage.
All right, bud.
You know when you cook a hot dog too long in a microwave, it gets all fucked up?
Yeah.
The penis has to look like that.
Really?
Yeah. I'll split down the middle.
Our show is sinking to new lows now that we've gotten to Rant Radio. And I'm sure they're going to fire us within a week. But while we're here, we're going to keep going.
I will give the man head, Droots will play with the balls, and Stink Dog will videotape.
Stinky Puppy.
Stinky Puppy with videotape.
Speaking of Stinky Puppy, I don't want to rag on him too much because I'm about to go to this thing. It's called Freaknik. It happens in Nashville, Tennessee. And 8 years ago, they started as a little hacker con. But it's expanded now to include other areas of interest to the technically minded individual, which is more like
minded.
Me.
It sounds like a mental disorder.
Yes, that's me, buddy. Includes science fiction, some gaming, some anime,
some Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, a little D&D. What's the new one? UGIO or something?
AEIOU.
Yes, they're having a geocaching scavenger hunt. They're having a gaming tournament. BYOB.
My dwarf has a 4 stealth.
They're having a hacker hookup, and they're having a
hacker
Wi-Fi
hookup.
Yeah,
what is that?
I guess that's when you hook up with other guy hackers because there's not that many girls going.
Some skeezy
thing.
Chicks,
yeah,
with braces like those old big metal ones with headgear. I like hackers.
If anyone records this and just sends me clips of Obfuscated being retarded, I would appreciate that a lot.
I got it all, baby. Even uncut versions. We're going to release a director's cut one day.
Anyway, Freaknik is in Nashville. It's going on October 22nd through 24th. And their website is Freaknik, freaknik.info.
Okay, speaking of that, you're going, right? Definitely, pretty much? Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'm going.
Okay, you're going to bring a camera?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to release that on the show then.
Yes. We'll release that, and we'll try to do part of a show there, so people can hear the excitement, the buzz.
Me sitting at home with my dick in my hand, not
the
going.
The hacker hookup.
Not going.
Yeah, why aren't you going?
I've got to work.
See, you should quit your job.
See, I ain't got a rich wife.
I don't have a rich wife either.
But she works, though.
But she works hard for the money.
Oh, my bitches don't work.
Well,
they lift off my bologna and cheese. An Italian sausage.
If you hadn't noticed, he's a WOP, so a greaser, a wetback, whatever you call him, I don't know.
Wetback's not Italians.
I like bringing racial slurs into the show. All right. Well, anyway, speaking of crap, a lot of the new car models are coming out are taking it less important to have a driver, and the cars are doing a lot of things for you. This new crop of high-tech safety devices is filtering down an increasing number of mainstream cars. Of course, you can get your fancy-ass cars with all the fancy shit, but now you're starting to get normal cars with this stuff, like the new Cadillac STS. It's a V8. It's from General Motors Company. They make Cadillac. Has headlights that automatically get brighter or dimmer based on oncoming traffic, which eliminates the need to flick the light, the brights on and off.
You know what? I like that.
You like doing it yourself?
Yeah, because that's also a warning for cops.
Yeah.
Okay, so you come up with some cars, you know a cop is just behind you, and you go flick, 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 flick.
Well, that's why you should just have a CB. And listen to the truckers like I do.
There's this obfuscator coming down on the 4-0. We got the cop coming. We have 5-0 coming right behind you. And watch out for the 5-0.
When I drive to my parents' house, it's like a 5-hour drive. And I pretty much have to take Interstate 55 all the way from the top of Mississippi to the bottom of Mississippi.
And you can get, I can't drive 55!
And you can get on the CB and ask truckers where the bears are.
Where you got the bear? Is it smoke it? Going to go on 55, 5 miles southeast?
And these bastards that can't make, like, a legible sentence know exactly what type of police officer from, like, a cocaine cowboy or, like, a bear or whatever you have to, I forgot what they call the weights and measures guys. But anyway, they are.
We got a cocaine bear with gonorrhea and hemorrhoids coming up on 55. Watch out on exit 31.
They'll know exactly what exit from New Orleans to Memphis. And they'll just prattle them off. And it's really handy to know. It's good information. And they're fun to talk to because they're idiots. Not all of them, but a lot of them are.
Yeah, I like to flick my – I like my own brights. Don't fuck with my brights.
All right. The new Infiniti FX by Nissan Motor Company. It sounds a buzzer if the drivers drift out of the lane. So what if you're changing lanes? Does it go – every time, but that might keep you awake while you're driving.
Wait. So you're driving, right? And say you have a, your tires are fucked up, right? And it just floats over every once in a while. It just goes, bah, 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 bah.
Maybe.
What if you're dead?
What if you are dead? Then you can't hear it. It won't bother you.
Yeah, true. You get a point there.
Daimler Chrysler is adding a thing that they call Park Sense. It's technology that detects and warns about objects behind a vehicle.
That's been out for a while, though.
Well, it's coming on 3 Chrysler models, including the Town & Country Touring minivan. And now that's something that's kind of a fancy thing that's coming out on more like, you know, soccer mom kind of things.
This is all and sponsored by OnStar, so when you drift over, there's a guy coming up, hello, ma'am, are you okay? I got you on 1st and 2nd Street over there. Are you going to be okay not drifting over to the side and we want me to talk to you? You're not falling asleep, are you?
Are you cute?
Thank you for choosing OnStar. We're always here for you.
We're always listening to your conversations. Others are also coming equipped with everything from active cruise control, which slows the vehicle down if it gets too close to the car ahead. It eliminates the creep of cruise control can give. And moisture-sensitive wipers, which will turn themselves on and off if they think the windshield has rain on it.
Okay, what are you going to do in your car then? What's the point even, like, you can just drive in the trunk?
Another thing, it's keys that can start the car without you being in it, which I saw a lot more up north because people wouldn't want to go out in the snow. But in the south, that's not really that popular because, you know, it's nice. You go outside and it's just nice.
Oh, yeah, you call like 98 degrees humidity. Like, you know, you're like lose 5 pounds as soon as you're going outside. Nice.
I like that.
What part of the south are you from?
It makes me feel good. I'm actually from the same place you are, my friend.
So you walk outside, it's like your whole body just goes...
This way you can have the radio jamming and the air conditioner on or the heater on before you leave your house. That's kind of a neat thing. I'm very excited about when I get in my car, I can just type in where I want to go, and it fucking takes me there, and I can just, like, sleep.
Actually, I was listening to Coast to Coast about 3 months ago, and they were talking about the new – they've actually tested these, like, vehicles. They're like, you know, like the spaceship vehicles that you've always seen in the movies. Mm-hmm. Kind of mostly, like – have you seen Minority Report?
No.
Well, anybody who's seen that, you know that the cars that they've shown in there, pretty much they drive themselves. And it's basically like a railroad track in the sky, an invisible one, okay? And it follows this one thing. You say where you want to go. You know, I want to go to Main and 3rd Street. And it'll drive you there. You don't need to do anything else. Okay, these vehicles supposedly are going to become equipped with, like, I think, like 10 tanks, fuel tanks, just in case, and backup parachutes, just in case. The on-board system will be software will be based on the Microsoft operating system.
Well, then you would need redundancy in the parachutes if it would be based by anything that's micro shit.
I got a virus in my parachute. Ah!
Now, the reason I wanted to read this article, not only is it tech, but I recently bought something the other day. I bought myself a little Lilliput 7-inch touchscreen monitor that I can plug in my truck, and now I can have a computer screen, and I don't have to have a mouse and a keyboard because the touchscreen will do it for me. And I've been looking at all the uses that I can do this. Of course, I'm going to have wireless internet on it, and I'm going to have the GPS hooked up to it.
And you have the Linux OS that works around with the car and everything, right?
Well,
you know what I'm talking about, right? That
I've been looking into this, and I haven't found one that's been really recommended, the Linux one.
I have a friend that has it, one in his car. And it's a Linux.
I found one that's based off a... Well, no. I found a thing that's Microsoft-based that can read what your car's... All its little sensors are saying.
Okay, what I'm talking about is the Linux-based. I don't know about the Windows.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Okay.
I'm thinking about pretty much just having a Flash application that does everything for me so it can look all cool, and I can just have real big buttons to press while I'm driving because I have fat little hands. And I need the big buttons. And my truck bounces around a lot because I've got a lot of shit in it.
I'd rather have a Linux-based one just in case, you know, you want to write a shell script to run somebody over. You know, if subject is, like, more than 120 pounds, make sure to back over him 4 or 5 times. You know.
Excellent.
In statement.
And I'm trying to think of all the different things I can do with it. Like, I'm thinking about putting some USB cameras hooked into my little computer I'm having in the truck just so I can see behind me. Where I park at school, when I back out, I can't see a damn thing, and I'm backing out into a big road. And it'd be really handy to have just glance at the little computer screen and see what's coming with the little wireless camera. And I was thinking if I had a wireless one and I put a big magnet on it, I could position it wherever I wanted. And then when I park, I can put it inside the truck so it doesn't get stolen. I have big plans and no money.
Just so let everybody know he does drive a 71 Eldorado.
Yes. Jacked up. It's lifted. And, like, I'd like to be able to control, like, my winch and my rebel flag.
A.K.A. your wife?
And then I was even thinking about having, like, a little device that dropped rocks right above the wheel so that they, people were following close behind me. I could break their windshield. But, that's just some crap.
Oh, yeah, I got a story to tell you about that. Even though it's not tech. Had a friend, right? It's going to work. And he gets behind this big fucking dump truck, you know? This fucking dump truck drops a can of fucking paint. Goes all over his fucking car. It goes over his window. So the first thing, you know, instinctively that you do is turn your windshield wipers on, right? He can't see fucking shit, so he pulls over, you know. So he's got fucking paint all over his car. He had to go get that fixed. He couldn't get the license number or the plates. So just to let you know, like, don't get rocks, get paint cans. Be like James Bond.
That would be excellent.
All over the car.
All over the car. All right. Well, anyway, if y'all have any ideas of things that I should do with that, I'm still looking into things. And if you go to Freaknik, you'll be able to see my basic, what I've come up with so far.
And how are they going to know it's you? They're going to have droops on the back of your shirt? Or are you going to be wearing the Infonomicon pimping out the show?
I'm going to be the only fucker there with the Infonomicon shirt.
The same one all how many days?
Three.
All 3 days. All 2 days.
Yeah, whatever. That or the geocaching shirt. Because I'm really into that. If you don't know what that is, go to geocaching.com. It's a game with GPSs and gay sex in the woods. All right, is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this isn't really new news for a lot of people, but it might be. There's file sharing, like Kazaa, eDonkey, LimeWire, things like that. And it's flawed in ways that if you do something wrong, it's easy to catch you. So people say, well, we'll just set up like a little private network that me and Obfuscated and Stinky Puppy and somebody else might share all the illegal things that we may or may not have that we do. So there's a new company that was founded by two online music pioneers, and I'll get to that in a second, who they are. They've developed some software that lets people share music, movies, photos, and other digital data on their computers with a small group of users limited to no more than 30 people. This company, it's Grouper Networks Incorporated, is part of a growing number of mainstream businesses seeking to commercialize file sharing, which is, of course, a technology associated with swapping pirated music, movies, and one that often becomes toxic to investors after an all-out legal assault by recording companies and movie studios. Now, this software is called Grouper, and it lets users form a private group in which members can join by email invitation
only. What's the name
only.
Of this place? What's the name of the company?
It's Grouper. Like the fish.
That's gay. Go ahead.
Anyway, you join the groups by email invitation only, which is, of course, a lot different than Kazaa, which you can just do it anonymously, whatever. They're from Mill Valley, California, and this company limits the number of users that are, the number of groups that a user can create to about a dozen. But they're still working on that number, and that's going to restrict copying. So
no,
you
no it's not.
Well, it's going to make it a little bit more difficult, according to them. And they just don't want their investors scared, so it's good to have some safeguards. Grouper's also steering clear of one of the most contentious capabilities of file sharing, which allows users only to stream songs stored on the computers to other members of the group. A system that lets users play friends' music without making permanent copies for themselves. This company believes that restriction means any file sharing that occurs through its software amounts to private performances allowed under copyright law. Well, if you can share something, you can just fucking change the music. I'm sure this will be very easy to fool.
Well, of course. All you got to do is stream it, push record on your favorite, music
stream
editor.
Ripper.
Huh?
Stream Ripper.
Or, I don't use that. I just use what I use to edit the show with Adobe Audition. And just do that. But let me ask you something. Did it say anything about, okay, say we have five people on the group, right?
Yes.
And I'm streaming some music from you, right?
Yes.
Is it limited how many people can stream from that one person?
No, but you have to be in the group to get it. And there's only 30 people allowed in the group.
That's pretty heavy bandwidth, huh?
Well, that's what they're looking at the future.
In the
year
2000.
Anyway, this video is a total different story. Most home broadband connections have uploading speeds that are too slow to permit streaming of video.
Exactly.
So, of course. So a Grouper lets users download permanent copies of video files from others in their group.
Is this for businesses?
No, it's for people. Now, the guys that founded this is John Fessler and Dave Samuel, and they're, of course, the guys that made a shitload of money selling Spinner.com to America Online for $320
million
in 1999.
Million dollars.
Million dollars. Now, this software, we're listening to it, we're like, who the fuck is going to use this?
No one.
Well, they're aiming it toward families who want to easily share home movies and digital photographs to their friends. Instead of having to email, a bunch of pictures, you can have your pictures of your family up to share or your videos up to share to people that are in your friends group, and they can get them whenever they want.
Eh, that's a bullshit excuse. Because I've got some family pictures, right, and you want to see them, right? Why would I want you to download them?
Of course, this is a bullshit excuse, but it's a really nice little safeguard, so maybe they won't get sued to shit by the record companies.
I'm like, are you going to use that?
I'll probably test it out, but no.
Nah, I wouldn't use it. It's bullshit. Because if you're going on there to, get family pictures, you're going to find, I'll just get them to download it, right, one way or the other.
Well, let's say you're some idiot, and you're trying to share a family movie that you made that's, an hour long with someone else. Either you can email it to them or put them up on a website, which costs money for bandwidth, or you can just have it sitting on Kazaa and let them download it from you. And this is a more personalized, more safe version than Kazaa because it's people in your group. And it would be good for something like that, but that's going to be a rare use, I believe.
And it costs money to join, right? It's just not free.
It doesn't say, and I looked at the website and I couldn't find any information about it.
Because if it does charge, then you can use what's that website that you get an email address from, and you can have, I don't know how big of a, send. You can send, really big files. Is that whale mail or some shit like that?
I couldn't tell you, buddy.
Well, anyway, there's websites where you can send, large fucking files. But you have to pay. And okay. I think that would be a little bit more feasible way of sending, you know, home movies or whatever.
Okay. I just found it's free and it supposedly contains no spyware or adware. I'm going to have to look into it.
Yeah, we'll look into that.
It's grouper.com if anyone wants to check that out.
And spell that?
Grouper.
One more time, please.
No. It'll be in the show notes if we ever post them. Now, a spokesman for the Maine Music Industry Trade Group, the Recording Industry Association of America, which is the main one in America, said the organization is aware of private file sharing networks, and where appropriate and as needed, we will enforce our members' companies' rights. Entertainment companies are backing a pending congressional proposal known as the Induce Act that could make it easier to prosecute makers of file sharing technology.
Okay, there's a little thing in this. Now, if there's a group, right?
Yes.
And you can only be invited to this group. Okay?
Yes.
Then how would they know who's sending what?
Well,
without
we'll have
invading,
to see.
Without invading some privacy.
Well, what's to make me from just renaming all my movies to some stupid fucking dorky family name and then trading them like that?
Johnston's Family Pedophiles.
Yeah. You know, hot sex with underage sister. Whatever.
Yeah, but I don't see how they can do that because the, what is it, what did you say, the MPAA?
No, the RIAA.
Whatever, same thing. They would actually have to go and join a group saying there's somebody else to find out who's doing this.
Yeah.
It's not like on file sharing where everybody's anonymous, you know, no one knows who they are. And they can just join and whatever and download some shit.
So maybe this will work, maybe this won't. Maybe it'll bring another bright idea up. But that's what our company's built on, innovation.
I think they're wasting the $300 million. I think they should just move to Florida and just shut up.
Whatever. That's what old people do. And they're not really that old.
House passes bill to criminalize spyware fraud. The House Thursday passed a bill that would criminalize the use of spyware to commit fraud or other crimes, adding an addition 2 to 5 years to federal sentences. The Internet Spyware Prevention Act, H.R. 4661, also would authorize the appropriation of $10 million to the Justice Department annually for the next 4 years for prosecutions needed to discourage the use of spyware and the practice commonly called phishing. The bill, which was passed, is the second piece of anti-spyware legislation passed in the House this week. H.R. 2921-29, the Spy Act, passed on Thursday, would provide civil penalties for distribution of spyware or phishing tools. The Federal Trade Commission would enforce the Spy Act.
All right, well, like, they're not going to stop spyware. Like, they can criminalize it all they want. But what's illegal in the United States may not be legal in Canada. And it's hard to prosecute someone in a foreign country from America. And, like, just like with file sharing, they're just going to move to somewhere that it is legal. And it's really hard to make laws
Russia,
on the Internet. Well, it's hard to make laws on the Internet.
I don't think they should just pass legislation on this. Even though I don't like spyware, I don't like, you know, like I've never got caught up in phishing like I would. Only idiot does that. But I think anybody caught doing it should be flogged.
Yeah.
That's simple as that. A good beating.
Or get his Gmail account taken away.
You take him out into a public forum. It could be on, you know, like on the WB. It could be a reality show, you know, you flog the spammer, you know, and you take, you know, you take the people that, say you've got a piece of software and about 10 million people have been, you know, spammed by the software or adware or whatever. Each one of them gets a big fucking whip. No, actually, there's a big table full of, like tools, right, and weapons or whatever, and they each get to use them, everything but a gun, okay, and they each get to use it, right? On this one person, so they beat the fucking shit out of them.
Well, the Internet, again, like I said, is a hard thing to legislate, and I don't see why they're wasting, any lawmaker would waste their time making a law that has no effect on anything.
They do it all the fucking time.
I know, but, like, why would you want to do that? Like, here's something that you can't control. Why do you want to make a law about it and make it illegal? It's just going to waste your fucking time when you should be doing something else.
Most of the shit doesn't come from the U.S. anyway.
Yeah.
Just wasting time and money, really.
Time and money.
More money than it costs to, like, you know, deal with the spyware on your company's computers or the government's computers in the first place.
Yeah. Or if you ran an operating system that didn't allow it all just to fuck you all day long.
Well, you know what? I think this is taking away the responsibility of the user in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, there...
You can't legislate morality and you can't legislate intelligence.
Yeah, you have to, like, you know... You can't just, like, just blame everything on somebody else. You have to take some responsibility of being the dumb person that clicked yes.
Yeah. Or the dumb person that doesn't run a firewall.
And if you run... I'm talking about personal... For personal computers, for one thing. Now, if you're in a business, you should have spent the money when you're setting up your system to defeat this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm sure most of these people that are having problems with it are running Windows servers.
Oh, yeah. Undoubtedly.
But it's so nice. I got it for only $30,000 for three licenses.
And my soul.
And my soul to Microsoft.
And my firstborn. yes. Developers. If you had noticed, we don't care for that company much.
I do.
Do you? You like them a lot?
They make good notepads. I like their notepads, their word processing equipment.
Speaking about government and making retarded kind of laws, Uncle Sam, now, we're of course from the United States, so we're going to have a lot of United States stuff. I don't get any Canadian news. If any of you Canucks want to send us some email with some Canadian news, we'll read it if we think it's interesting. Anyway, Uncle Sam wants you. He wants you to buy a digital television. So much that they want you to buy a digital television, the federal government in the United States is launching a national ad campaign in partnership with consumer electronics makers and retailers to explain what to look for in a digital TV set. Now, the age of digital television, which provides home viewers with more than a cinematic experience from their sofa, has been promised for nearly 20 years.
Their sofa?
Yes, you can watch Davenport. Well, while digital-like television sales are increasing, many consumers have held off purchases amid widespread confusion about the needs for these sets, which can cost hundreds of dollars more than a traditional analog television. Now the federal government wants to finalize the so-called digital transition, which is supposed to take place by 2006, but has been postponed into 2009. By educating consumers about the benefits of the technology, regulators are hoping to entice people expecting to buy a new television in the coming years to go digital instead. Their slogan, I'm sure they paid millions of dollars for, is DTV, get it. The federal... Communications Commission Chairman Michael Powell announced a major initiative by the agency to educate the public about what digital television is and what it is they need to get.
That should be now, the same that should be the same slogan for AIDS. Yeah. AIDS. Get it.
Get it. Infonomicon.
Get it.
Well, they use clever punctuation. Like
get you some.
After DTV, they have a colon, and then after get it, they have an exclamation point.
Get you some gonorrhea.
Hell yeah. Ever since
syphilis.
I got gonorrhea, I've been so much happier.
Syphilis. Get it.
Now, I'm not going to tell you what to look for in a digital television because, they're spending a lot of money to tell you that, and I don't need to. But if you don't listen to their stuff but you have Internet access, you can go to dtv.gov, which is a government-regulated website, obviously .gov, that provides shopping tips such as what equipment is necessary to make digital TVs work. It also tells details of shows currently on the air in different places.
So why are they pushing this so hard again?
Well, when they go over to digital uses a lot less bandwidth than analog. And what is very expensive to purchase? The rights to a spectrum. Like, back in the day, they had high frequency and low frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, this is it, man. That's it. And then they're like, oh, here's one better and faster and higher than a high frequency. We'll call it very high frequency. And then they found ultra high frequency, like UHF, VHF, all the extra good stuff. And they gave a lot of room to the television bandwidth. Like if you look at old TVs, they get, I think it's VHF and then UHF. We used to have a black and white TV that had two dials. And I don't know how it is in Canada. But you had to turn that bastard, and you had to set it to UHF, and then turn the bottom one. And that's because TVs, consumer TVs, use two different portions of the spectrum to broadcast their shows. They want to condense it and use that TV spectrum for other things. Why do they want the TV spectrum so bad? It's because you don't have to be near a window for a TV to work, because it goes through walls. It's a very good spectrum to have. And they want to use it for other things like wireless communications and shit like that.
Basically, they're just clearing up the analog signals.
Yeah, they don't want to let us have what we've always had. They want to change it and sell it and make some money for their fucking bastards.
I like analog. I love analog.
And for your grandma that doesn't have internet, you can always get her to call 1-888-CALL-FCC, and they'll have somebody to tell you about
it. They'll send you over some pamphlets.
They'll send you some pamphlets about why you should buy a digital television. Another reason they want to buy a digital television is they're very expensive.
What's the number?
1-888-CALL-FCC.
Okay, I'm going to call that up, and hopefully in a few weeks we'll get that brochure in and we'll read it on the air.
All right.
Speaking of analog, this show is being recorded on reel-to-reel, just so you all know that. So the show does cost like $150 every time we fucking record.
Yes, and Mr. Magoo is the guy that provides all our stuff. And we don't like to mention his name that much because he doesn't like it much, and we don't want to get fired from our job. Like, we get paid a lot for doing this. Like, I at least make, like, $6, $7, you know, a month doing this.
I get paid a blowjob in coffee.
In the coffee?
Gotta have cream.
All right, buddy. And that was a joke for everyone.
Pause.
Reflect. And we're done.
We're done.
Now, there's different types of digital TVs. Go look at the FCC, DTV.gov site. And, like, they've got SDTV, and they've got HDTV, and all this, that, and the other. And they've got LCD TVs, and they've got plasma TVs. If you don't know all about this, go look at it. It's actually really interesting. But they're trying to make your old analog TV obsolete, which is a lot of trash that they're going to dump in the environment, but that's cool, because they'll get some money for their bandwidth, or their spectrum.
Nah, I still keep using. I'm still using my fucking piece of shit TV. Fuck it, analog. Analog rocks!
I don't even have a TV set up in my house right now. I have four monitors, computer monitors, sitting on the desk radiating at me right now, but I have no TVs. Alright, digital something article?
Google on Thursday announced a new text service that allows people to use mobile phones or handheld devices to tap Google's web service via text messages or a short message service called Google SMS. A new acronym for everybody. A service is the newly public company's broadest push yet in the mobile market and comes as Google as its rivals in the hotly competitive web search industry race to expand their reach. Google SMF delivers business and residential listings, product prices, and directory lookup. The Mountain View, California-based company is not taking a percentage of the 5% to 10% per message charge levied by mobile callers, nor will advertising influence results. A quote for the company is, we're not charging anything for the service, and we have no plans to do so in the near future. We're trying to see if this is compelling enough to get people to use it. So, you know, Google, the god of internet, is coming back at you, part two.
And this website, actually, I was just looking at it. It's google.com/SMS, and has a little explanation of how do you use it, things like that. It's actually pretty cool.
So basically, you're on your – let me go check that out.
google.com/SMS.
Basically, you're on your cell phone, hit it up, send messages back and forth.
You can look up dictionary definitions. You can look up product prices. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you're talking to your friend. You're like, that's so. You look it up, obfuscate it.
And then you can't pronounce it because most people can't.
Or spell
you
it.
Hear it.
Or spell it. So that's actually a pretty good service. So because what is there out there? I know AIM has got one out there. MSN has one out there. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't charge for text messaging.
Well, that's really nice.
And it provides, you know, the whole... So that I figure everybody go with this, because Google is the shit.
Google is the shizzy. Is that a word, shizzy? I'm not cool.
No.
Okay, never mind.
You're gelling.
Actually, I am gelling.
Gelling like a felon. Gelling like a felon.
All right. Well, this is another way that's going to – cell phones are, of course, going to replace PDAs. And I love PDAs. I have two. But cell phones are going to be taking a place. And now you can just, you know, very easily look up something just through cell phone right now. All right. Anything else you have to say about that?
And that's all I got to say about that.
All right, Mr. Forrest. Back to digital and shit like that. Not only is TV going digital, but radio is going digital. I'm not talking about satellite radio, which, of course, is a digital digital broadcast, but digital FM. Digital FM has a crisper, cleaner sound, which is approaching that of a compact disc. Even a digital AM station sounds as good as a conventional FM station does today. Now, right now, there's 140 stations in the U.S. that are broadcasting digital radio. And that number, of course, is rising every month. An additional 70 are expected to convert by year's end. These stations are mostly in the country's major markets, from Boston, San Francisco, to Atlanta, not North Mississippi.
Or Southern Louisiana.
In addition, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is providing grants as much as $75,000 to help 40 public radio stations complete the conversions this year. That's pretty cool. All this represents a rare spurt of initiative for the radio industry, which has become something of a dinosaur in the world of consumer electronics. The underlying technology for radios hasn't changed since 1961, which is the year FM was introduced. Now, digital radio is common overseas, but was delayed here until the broadcast industry could come up with a signal that could be squeezed into the U.S.'s more crowded radio spectrum. Another factor was the standoff between radio stations and radio makers. The stations had been hesitant to make roughly a $100,000 investment in the gear needed to broadcast digitally until a critical mass of consumers had purchased digital radios. Now you're saying, okay, it's going to sound good. What else will it do for me? Well, digital has other advantages. Digital transmission is more efficient than analog because it's not sending as much information as analog. Stations that convert digital to digital can squeeze two digital channels and an analog channel in the same frequency. That means a station could have two digital channels broadcasting different shows or different music on the same frequency. NPR, which is National Public Radio in the United States, for instance, is considering a jazz channel that could reside on the alternate channel. Stations could also use the additional channels.
As they don't play enough of it.
Well, they got to have some more jazz. Stations could also use additional channels to send messages to listeners and have breaking news or traffic information in text scrolling across like a little LCD screen.
Like a ticker.
On the radio. Yeah, like a little ticker.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, these things are going on sale right now. They're pretty expensive for one. Like the cheapest one's a Sanyo, and cheapest one's a Kenwood. Actually, it's $500. But it's just the tuner that attaches to an existing radio.
So we got to buy whole new radios now, and you got to decide if you want, you know, the FM and all that good shit, digital FM, or you got to decide if you want, you know, Sirius or XM and.
Well, most of these are coming standard with the MP3 player, which is a cool thing. So you don't have to buy, like, you know, you're paying good money for this thing, but you're getting a lot out of it.
Remember back in the day when all the choices you had is either you want a CD player or a tape player in your car when you bought one?
Yeah.
Those were simpler times.
Well, when my dad was a little kid, when they wanted heat in the vehicle, they brought blankets because there was no such thing as a heater.
And no air conditioning either.
Yeah. You just brought blankets and you rolled the windows down. You sweated or you froze. I think that's really cool that, the radio is getting better. Because, like they said, FM was introduced in 61, and that's a really, really long time for radio to do that. Because radio used to be a real hot market of, you know, technology coming out, this, that, and the other. The guy that actually came up with the first working radio was a guy named Marconi, and he's from Italy.
Of course.
Of course. And macaroni.
Every good thing that you have in your house, anything that you use, anything that you see, came from Italy.
Like your drywall. The Italians put it up in the house and they finish it for you. And they install your paneling for you and they do all your plumbing.
Or the tomatoes.
And your ketchup. Anyway, Marconi came up with this thing and he tried to sell it to the Italian Navy. And he didn't really invent it, per se, as much as he improved upon it that it would work. Other people had noticed that if you stick a wire up, you stick another wire up, you send enough signal up one, the other one will pick it up without being touched. And the Italian Navy didn't want it. They were good with, you know, light signals and semaphore flags or whatever. Signal flags and semaphores, the light signals. I'm retarded. Anyway, he actually sold it to the British government. The first radio test was actually done, or, you know, shipped ashore, was done at the Isle of Man in England between a tugboat and a station on the ground.
And a lot of G-strings.
And a lot of G-strings. And Marconi radios were like the brand name of radio. And back then, a Marconi radio only worked with other Marconi equipment. And the more expensive things would have the Marconi equipment. And then there was, you know, Brand X, which wouldn't pick up Marconi signals. Anyway, World War II came out, and we had
Marconi.
It came out like a movie. They were like, World War II coming up next. And Marconi, I don't know why I'm telling y'all
this
story.
Would you like to see the trailer for that?
Death, destruction, your mama's gonna cry.
Coming out next Friday, Hitler
invades Europe. All the guys in Europe are like, what? He's gonna do who?
Hitler, Marconi, has Hitler.
They had all these Marconi radio stations listening up on the Atlantic side, and the Secretary of the Navy, Joseph something another, convinced
Stalin?
The government. No. I think it was Joseph, convinced the government that it would be in the nation's best interest to take all these Marconi radio stations, which of course were controlled by a company that was not based in America, and take them over so that the government would know what was going on in the Atlantic. So the government took control of all the Marconi radio stations that were broadcasting on the Atlantic, and after the war, the what was that guy's name? He had a funny name. The Secretary of the Navy convinced the government not to give them back to the Marconi company, but to instead give them to an American company, and that's how we got RCA. Pretty much, we stole from the Italians and took their technology of their radios and all their infrastructure, and we're like, here, RCA. Now, can you imagine that doing that today? Like, imagine they just went up to AT&T and they said, we're going to need y'all for the war effort. You know, we're now in charge of your stuff. And then they give it to a whole different company, and they're just like, to all the AT&T people, fuck you. That Oops. Would cause quite the uproar, but back in the day, it was national pride. We just won the war, you know, for Europe. Now we're taking their shit. And I just thought that was a little interesting contrast.
Speaking of, you know what, I grew up in a largely Italian neighborhood, so what is the sound of a helicopter that goes over that town?
That's funny.
Yeah. Wop, 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 wop. And now reflect.
And we're done.
And we're done. Okay, I got one more article, and then we're going to start wrapping the show up.
Well, I wasn't done, but okay, go ahead.
Okay, Microsoft prepares to kill Linux with different Windows flavors. This is like a joke, I think. I don't know. Microsoft prepares to kill Linux with different Windows flavors. Microsoft is developing versions of Windows with only a subset of its code base designed to specific server tasks. The intention is to reduce maintenance costs and create products that are less vulnerable to attack, and so to tackle head-on the threat proposed by Linux. The new role-based products may appear in 2007, when the server version of Longhorn is scheduled for release. Offering a smaller code base would mark a significant technical shift for Microsoft and could help address the competitive threat posed by Linux, but it also presents significant engineering challenges for the company, industry's analysis said. Microsoft already sells two role-based versions of Windows, one for storage and one for web serving. They essentially conceal from users the path of Windows that are not needed for the task at hand, making them easier to install and use, but both products are based on the entire Windows code base. With its Longhorn release, Microsoft hopes to offer role-based versions of Windows for tasks such as storage, file, or print serving that include only part of its overall Windows code, said Martin Taylor, Microsoft General Manager for the Platform Strategy. Today, it's still the entire code base, but there's no reduction in the bits you get. Today, things are just roped off, Taylor said. We want to get to a model of role-based development where you might just have the bits you need for a function. It's one of our design goals for Longhorn.
So kind of like when you install Linux and you're like, I would like this to be a server or a workstation.
Or a print server, yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's all I'll do.
You see, the thing, the catch with this is that with Linux, it's free. So all you have to do is just get one CD, install it as a server in one station, install it as a print server in another station, install it as a fuck me in the asshole station, right?
My favorite one.
So with this is you're going to have to buy, say you have a small office, right? And you actually need print servers, application servers, and whatever servers. So you need four servers, okay? Separate. In this one small station. You're going to have to fucking buy each one of those.
Yes.
And then buy licenses for the workstations.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to go with that?
Microsoft is, buddy.
No, I'm talking about the people buying the shit.
I know.
That is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Only the companies that can waste the money will do it. There's already been a shift to Linux because of the problems of having to do with the licensing, the bullshit, new versions every 15 weeks.
Holes in security
and all that shit. So now, not only are you going to have to worry, so with all the fucking holes, and I'm not sure with the holes in the servers. I'm not sure if they get that more often than XP Home Edition, but they got to worry about if you have four servers, four different vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be totally operating systems on their own.
This is true.
Anything to say about that?
It's a load of crap, but they seem to be good at selling crap. So, more power to them. Make me have to take more fucking classes. I appreciate it a lot, Microsoft.
More classes, more certifications, become god of the internet, now for only $39,050.
Anyway, you got any more to say about that?
Okay, that's going to be it, man.
Well, let me talk about one thing real quick. I told my friend that I would mention this. I have a friend that took some pictures with a digital camera on a smart media card. She deleted the pictures before she was able to save them onto her computer and asked me to recover them for her. She sent me the card, played around with it, I sent it back with another card. The card that she had was an 8-megabyte card, and I sent her a 128 card along with it that I just had extra, and it's smart media, and I'm never going to use it for anything. I didn't steal it from work. I actually ordered it and bought the wrong thing, because I wasn't smart at that day. Anyway, I mail it to the United States Post Office. I go up there, I pay for my fucking stamp, I put a stamp on the thing, and I mail it. Well, she gets it. She noticed that there's nothing in the envelope. There's an indentation where there was something, and there was a little cut on the side of the envelope where someone had cut it out and slipped out the cards. Anyway, she files a letter with the post office, but since I didn't insure it, it gave them free rein to steal whatever was in it and just deliver her the empty case. And I think that's really, really, really shitty. And she's taken it up with a higher-up at the post office, and pretty much because I did not insure it, they're allowed to steal it.
That's pretty fucked up. They're probably going to take no action whatsoever for that.
Yeah, and they're just giving her the runaround. They actually use the words, they sent it to the big boys in Jackson, which is like the capital of Mississippi.
That's the exact quote they said?
Yeah, I thought that was really, really...
I just lost my car. Y'all stole my stuff. Well, we're going to send the big boys in Jackson now. You wait for them. They call up here all the time. We're going to tell them we got some problems over here. Somebody's stealing some shit.
Yeah, and they're just trying to appease her. But that's really silly. And, like, there's nothing we can do about the post office, really. But, like, if you insure something with FedEx or UPS or anything like that, like, it's insured against them damaging it. You know, like, that happens. Shit breaks. Some shit falls.
But not from stolen shit.
But if you get your box from FedEx and those fuckers have cut it open and stolen something out of it, you can, you know, put some legal action on their ass.
The thing about it is that the post office is the post office. There's no other service you can use.
Yeah.
I'm talking mostly for big mailing letters.
Yeah,
if you want to send it like a letter, you know, you don't go to fucking FedEx or, you know, Brown Eye.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it costs you $15 to mail a fucking letter.
But I think that's really, really shitty that they, you know, that shouldn't have to be insured. That should be part of their service that they don't steal from
I've never had that kind of problem. The only problem I've ever had was when I was ordering a bunch of demos from bands, and one came in a little plastic bag, you know, like with a U.S. Post Office seal on it. saying that it was all the tape was all fucking crushed up and mangled, and the package it was in was mangled. And basically said, "Sorry, we fucked up. That's it." And I got the person to send me another tape, but that's pretty fucked up. It was a little baggage. And they didn't even send me a letter. On the baggage just said, you know, just like, "Sorry, we fucked up, U.S. Postal Service." They didn't even have a signature or nothing.
Well, that's no good.
Somebody stepped on the ground, rolled over with a fucking bulldozer, and was like, "Oh, put this in the bag."
It's that devil music anyway.
Yes.
All right. That's what I got. You got a cunt of the week?
Also, you know, I want to say one thing, is that there was a report came out last weekend about, you know, coffee and caffeine being bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say they're the cunt of the week.
All right.
Not that they did legitimate research, because the research is legitimate. I'm sure if you drank so much fucking coffee, your fucking dick will fall off and your eyes bugging out your head. Of course, anything and not in moderation is bad.
But see, like, if the guy that had cut his dick off actually had just had a little coffee, he might still have a penis.
Tis is true.
You got to think about it two ways.
Because this, what's going to happen with this now is that, now, okay, not that I'm bad mouthing them for doing the research. You do research, and you come out with the outcome, of course. But now people are going to take, you know, mainly trial lawyers are going to come out and say, I can see this happen 10 years from now. People are going to be suing Folgers for their fucking dependency on it. I can see it now. It's going to fucking happen. It's just like I remember when I was a little kid and a cigarette started getting sued. I remember telling my friend, like, "Oh, I know what's going to happen next. Oreo is going to get sued in Burger King." And it's happened.
Yeah, that it has.
I'm drinking coffee right now. I fucking love coffee.
I do too.
You know, I don't drink it a lot. I drink it when, you know, when I want it. I like the taste of shit. Coffee's been around for fucking ever.
And so have people.
And so have cheeseburgers.
And they go so good with cigarettes.
Oh, actually, all right, let me see what my cigarettes say today. Surgeon General warning, cigarette smoke contains carbon monoxide. They change. You know they change every one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I get a different packet, it has a different warning on it. It's kind of like a lottery ticket.
That's all right.
Cigarette smoke contains carbon monoxide. Okay, I'll chance that.
Excellent.
Tune in next time for us. The cigarette pack turns.
All right, who's our cunt of the week? The cigarette people or the coffee people?
The people fucking bad-mouthing coffee.
Who is our, what's our site of the week? I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Actually, this guy posted on the BenRev forums the other day, irongeek.com, irongeek.com. He's got a bunch of excellent tutorials and videos that show you how to do computer security-related things.
And what's the quote of the week?
It's DTV, get it, by the federal, get it, man, get that shit, by Federal Communications Commission Chairman, son of colon, Michael Powell.
Okay, and what was the term of the week?
It was actually a guy's name. His name is Marconi, and he's the guy that came up with the first working radio.
So learn about that. Knowledge is power, guy.
The more you know, the more you grow.
The more you know, more your penis grows.
Yes, so get really smart.
Get really hung. Got it?
Got it.
Got it. And, all right. And that's going to be our list for the week. And also we have our Shirley Q, so take it, Shirley.
How you doing? This is Shirley Q Liquor, honey. You know it's one thing I don't want to do is clean my house. Oh, I don't like no house cleaners. I wish I had a maid or something come down here, somebody could boss around, but I can't afford no maid. Shoot, I am somebody's maid. I don't even hardly ever go down to her house. Ooh, I've been called in sick to that poor woman so many times. I just call her and say, "Darling, I can't make it today." And she's like, "Well, you're supposed to come over here and clean my house." I said, "Well, I'm going to get to the rest of it Thursday, you know." Oh, want me to do her drawers and her children's clothes. And oh, her skillets are all nasty. And her husband have a stash of magazines hid up under her bed. And I knows about it and he knows about it, but she don't knows about it. And I feel like he need to give me extra income due to the fact that I'm very discretionary behind it. Whereas I could say something to somebody and get somebody in trouble, but you know, I'm not going to do it because I'm a nice woman. And I don't see nobody feeling hurt. But now, come on. And then she want to hand me a dust rag and tell me to go dust her house. And talking about be sure and vacuum all the carpets. I don't like being told what to do by somebody. I don't care if they're employer or what. I'm the maid. I come in there. I know what I'm doing. I don't need no supervisor. And if she gonna say one more thing to me, I think I'm gonna have to quit and go on unemployment because I don't play that. You treat me right, I'm gonna treat you right. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, let me go clean my house. You tell your mom and them I say how she doing. Bye, darling.
I love some Shirley Q.
What the fuck are you laughing at? Okay, and that's going to be the end of the show, man. Our closing song for this week is going to be, you know, you go back and you watch some movies that you saw when you was a kid, you know, and you look at them like, my God, this fucking sucks, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the fuck? This really fucking sucks. And then sometimes you realize it was good and more better than you thought it was. So I ran it. I'm a big horror freak, and I haven't seen Return of the Dead in really a long time. So I bought it, $10, you know, at Best Buy, and I bought the soundtrack with it. I figured I'd go along, and that's a fucking good soundtrack. And the movie is good too. So go pick that movie up if you're really into gore or shit, you know. And it's pretty. I remember it being a funny movie, and it's still a funny fucking movie. And closing music is going to be off the soundtrack. And if you remember the movie, that's where that chick whose name is Trash gets all fucking naked and starts talking about how she wants to fuck the dead. So the song's called Tonight, and the music's by SSQ. So I've been Obfuscated.
And I've been Droops.
Until then, we're Mickey Finn.